Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to talk to you this morning about a subject that is relevant to our times and very sensitive. The subject is racism. I know you've been hearing a lot on the news and seeing images that are too painful to look at. Put together the protests with the coronavirus, and you feel like you're trapped. I know what those who have been on the oppressed side of racism would say. If you think a month has been tiring, try being trapped for 400 years. The temptation to turn me off may be strong, but I pray that you'll stay with me. If there's any good that has come out of the George Floyd murder, it may be that we've been forced into a conversation about racism. Sad to say, that is not the only sin listed in the Bible. And like the other commandments, the complete removal and eradication of racism, just like the other sins, will only be accomplished fully in heaven. Jesus predicted that when he said, "In these last days, nations will rise against nation." I know that sounds pretty defeating, but that doesn't mean that we've been given the right to ignore the subject or suggest we should just learn to live with it until the judgment day. The scriptures are clear that all sin needs to be ferreted out and put to death. That's the struggle every sinner will have to endure until Jesus comes. It is the calling of every serious Christian to work toward ridding ourselves of all the acts of the sinful nature. And there are many, and they can be overwhelming. Nevertheless, as children of the Heavenly Father, we willingly do the work of putting away our sinful deeds, for He has removed our judgment and placed it upon His only, one and only Son, Jesus. And to help us in this sanctifying work, God has poured out His love upon us by His Holy Spirit, so that we may take on the image of His beloved Son and learn to live at peace with one another. I pray to God that He might help me in the next few minutes to handle this painful subject with a large dose of humility and repentance, with the hope that we will all be able to join in the praise that King David gave in Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. One of the most important aspects of Christianity, which I have used to bring the gospel to people of different racial or ethnic backgrounds, is the fact that Christianity is a religion for all people. Christianity doesn't belong to just Americans or to people who are from what we call the West. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry, He let it be known that He was there for the salvation of the whole world. Many religions established their gods locally and remained a localized religion. Christianity, on the other hand, being established within Judaism, was from the very beginning a religion to free all people from sin. Some of the heroes of the stories of Jesus were from enemy territory. You know well the story of the Good Samaritan. But do you remember the story of the Roman centurion in Luke chapter 7? The story is set in Capernaum, the town that Jesus used as his home base for ministry. Here's how Luke tells that story. There in Capernaum, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and he helped build our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. It is clear from these stories and others that Jesus had targeted his grace on people outside the chosen people of Israel. Jesus told Nicodemus, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Jesus was doing the task that God had given to the nation of Israel, who was supposed to be the magnet for God, so that when those throughout the world saw how God treated this special people, they too would be drawn to their God. Unfortunately, they failed in their mission and became exclusive, just like so many other nations and religions of the world. And that is a temptation the church must face in the world today. Christianity has always had a view toward redeeming all people. And the book of Revelation even pictures the throne of God in heaven as the place where all the saints are gathered together of every tribe and every nation. And before Jesus ascended into heaven, 40 days after his resurrection, he gave the disciples this mission. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So how does that work in our world today? Are we buying into that same mission created by our Lord? I believe that most of us think that we are pretty open-minded people. You might even say we feel that we're bias-free. But let me ask you, have you ever given another person the look that suggested you were leery of their intentions only because of the color of their skin, and not because you knew of any intent to do something unlawful or harmful? I have. And upon further contemplation, I've asked myself, where did that come from? Was it because I caught a glimpse of the Chicago riots in 1968? Or was it the big high school basketball game my high school had with an all-black inner-city school in San Diego when a serious fight broke out after the game? Our vice principal was knocked out cold with a pipe concealed in an umbrella. Those were tumultuous times, to be sure. But mixed in with those memories are really good recollections of people of color who were my friends. One of the kids I grew up with in high school of African-American ancestry was the son of a judge. His name was Sean. He was a great guy. He played football with me, but was also a wonderful Christian man. During my college years, I worked for a manager at Vaughn's Grocery Store in Long Beach, California. And he gave me an education during a lunch hour about black classical vocalists. I was a little embarrassed because I was a music major, and yet he had a wealth of knowledge that I didn't. Some of you may remember a man I considered to be the greatest gospel singer, evangelist in the world back in 1960s and 70s. I met Andre Crouch when I was just a high school student, and he became a friend. He used to call me and invite me to recording sessions when I was living in L.A. He was a 5-time Grammy Award-winning composer who preached Christ unapologetically in concert halls all over the world, and even had an appearance on Saturday Night Live. Andre taught me more about the wonderful diversity of God's creation than anyone I had ever known. It wasn't unusual to be at a concert of his and see people of multiple races. Everyone wanted to be his friend, and he was a friend to people from all over the world. He was truly an ambassador for Christ, to be sure. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what your story is, or what might be causing your blood pressure to rise because of this subject. It's not that I don't understand or that I don't sympathize with you. I can, but to a degree. So my experiences will mean nothing to you or how you feel about the subject of racism. But this is what God's Word says regarding the issue of the day. This won't take a lot of time because I've just one passage to read to you today. It really needs no little explanation or exposition. And it was this passage that settled my mind and makes me try to eradicate the sin of racism, which hides even in the small recesses of my dark heart. Speaking of Jesus, St. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. This is what he says. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. In its original context, this message refers to the breaking down of the barriers between Jews and Gentiles. In Jewish terms, you were either one of them or you were a goyim, a Gentile. They didn't care if you were from one of the 123 countries we have now in the world. You were either one or the other. You were Jewish or you were something else. And there were a lot of something else's in the world. This ethnic division was the point of a painful controversy in the earliest church. But the Apostle Paul's words should be understood as paradigmatic, that is, an example for the way in which God has acted to break down the walls, to overcome all racial and ethnic divisions in order to create a new people who embody visible unity in Christ. That new people is the church. Consequently, because God knows no partiality, the followers of Jesus are called to be ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Christ, in offering the promise of the healing of any and all divisions. As Jesus taught his disciples, we are to be peacemakers, rejecting the way of division and hatred and violence. The church lives to be the embodiment of this vision, and it can offer hope to a broken and fearful society such as we live in today. And insofar as the church fails to live into this reality, it compromises the truth of the gospel. My friends in Christ, if Jesus thought so much of the world to put his own life on the line, no, on the cross, that we might be one in him, how much more we who have received the benefits of that cross, that is forgiveness, life, and salvation, should fight with everything in us to be reconciled with each other. And that means putting away the sinful nature, putting away the sin of racism. This sermon wouldn't be complete unless we asked the question, how will we do this? Mark my words, God will show you the way. I know because the Holy Spirit has used many events in my life to show me. One real last quickie story, if you will. Our next door neighbors, are African American. From the first day that we had introduced ourselves to them, they became our friends. They are both educated, highly intelligent, and most importantly, very faithful Christians. One day we were throwing frisbees in the backyard, and one went over the fence into their yard. I was about to head over to ask permission from them to go into their backyard to retrieve the frisbee. Before I got there, they actually had thrown the frisbee back over the fence. An hour or so later, I saw them in the front yard. I thanked them for throwing back the frisbee. I told them I was sorry that the frisbee ended up in their yard and that I was about to come over to ask them again if it was okay to pick it up. And my neighbor said, to my shock and amazement, "Of course, we love you." I was stunned. And she meant it. I sheepishly garbled a few thank yous and then returned home. You know, I really don't know anything about their past, good or bad. What kinds of racial indignities they had to endure throughout their lives. But this I do know. Christ is their Lord. And because I confessed Christ, I was more to them than just a neighbor. I was their brother in Christ. The cross had reconciled us. Those of us who have not experienced racial animosity will never fully understand the pain that we see being expressed today on the streets. We don't know how a garage door rope, innocently tied but looking much like a noose, can evoke fear and anger in a person of color. We can shrug it off as a mistaken conclusion and overreaction, but if you're honest with yourself, we all have triggers that bring responses that may seem strange to those who have not lived our lives. Scripture reminds us, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. I pray that we as a church may learn to show sympathy and understanding to those who are so full of rage because of the injustices shown to so many people of color in our day. We don't have to condone the unlawful acts of violence and rioting, but we do need to show God's love and acceptance for every child of God. Law and order may be the way of worldly governance, but we are called to a higher law, the law of love. May God give us His Holy Spirit so that we might become reconcilers and ambassadors of Jesus, and through Him, show the world a better way to bring peace into our hostile world. For Jesus' sake and to His eternal glory, amen.